Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
I'm afraid to ask.
I was just sitting at my desk, minding my own business, when this bloke comes strolling past, gets his foot caught under my power cable, yanks me straight down to the ground. Smack!
Yikes. You know, MacBooks come with a power cord that connects magnetically, so if it gets pulled, it just pops straight out. Everything's just kind of thought through, like the tiny built-in eyesight camera.
Mac, wheel me over to the window. I want to look at the pigeons. They make me happy.
What window? What pigeons?
You're funny.
Just parties too hard. That's what happens when you party at Buster. You end up with a broken neck at the bottom of a cliff.
Right.
Let's get this show on the Rizzle. You guys ready?
Yep.
You guys are born ready. Hello! And welcome to Coldcast Best 30 Plus Minute Album Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irvine Elijah. Joining me today, yes, he's the author of 272 books on Apple. But he also has several on the art of Tantra. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, have fun.
It's all about the deep breathing, he says. Also joining us, scientists believe his hotness is affecting global warming. Buster Hind is here.
Thanks.
It is 110 in Phoenix.
There's a reason it's 110. Put some clothes on, for God's sake, Buster. Help us. Good Lord. The icebergs are melting. We need to do something about this. What is the temperature in Phoenix today?
Dude, it's been record highs all week, like 110, 111, 114.
Oh, my gosh.
Just horrible, but it's a dry heat.
do you just walk around in just the skimpiest of clothes? I would probably
Dude, you are half naked during the summer, you know?
You just walk around outside in like a men's swimming thong.
Oh yeah, flip-flops. Banana hammock. Yeah, just like we're at.
And they're cool if you wear that into like the restaurants and stuff. You can just plant those cheeks down and no one says anything.
No problem at all.
Yeah, you just keep a sanitizer close by at all times.
Just spray what you leave, you know, wipe it down.
Spray and wipe. Well, fellows, we have a lot of little interesting tidbits to talk about this week. We got some new betas that we're going to be talking a little bit about. We got iOS 8.4, iOS 9, and we got an El Capitan beta. And we're going to be talking about all of the cool features that they included in the betas. Let's be honest, it's a lot of little small stuff that really isn't all that titillating, right, Buster?
Oh, dude, yeah. It's been a very slow news week.
One of the slowest news weeks that I can remember. It's hot, and we're having an Apple news drought. So we're gonna be talking very slowly. We should just talk like this. And
I don't know. There's a few things. There's a few things we got coming up. We're gonna talk about
the stories that were there. They were fairly big stories, you know.
Oh yeah, like this Taylor Swift 1989 album. Huge news.
Reverberated flag app pulling.
Oh yeah, that was interesting to say the least. Because imagine how many Confederate flags there are in app artwork. I wonder how they even find that stuff.
Okay. I think they just did a search.
Yeah. Just search for Confederate flag. Maybe there is. No,
they wait for the bloggers to find them.
Yeah, there's no way that Apple just did a search, because we know the search doesn't bring up anything relevant. Right. It would have brought up like news apps, all the things that you never actually have anything to do with what you search for. All right, well, before we hop into this week's lively discussion, I want to say thank you to Bushel for supporting this episode. Bushel, BUSHEL.com/Cultamac, and you will be able to manage up to 3 devices forever for free. Bushel lets you control and manage Apple devices in your business. And let's say you're just an entrepreneur, you have a bunch of Apple devices, and you don't want to spend a ton of time working on IT. You don't want to hire an IT person. Bushel makes it extremely easy to manage the devices in your business, and it's dead simple to use. Check it out at bushel.com/Cultamac. And again, they will give you 3 devices free forever. You can manage them for your business. You can manage them for your parents, which is what I'm going to be setting up for my parents. I want to thank Bushel for supporting this episode and Cult Cloth. Speaking of hot weather, Buster, have you tried fashioning your Cult Cloth into a moisture-wicking underpant?
Yeah, dude, on every jog I go on.
Really? Did you sew them together yourself?
Yeah, I made one a cult cloth out of my beard hair recently.
Did you really?
And wow. It wicks away sweat like you wouldn't believe, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's certainly one of the magic ingredients to cult cloth, which you could use to create a pair of wonderfully comfortable underpants, but its main purpose is keeping your Apple devices absolutely spotless, sparkling, clean, like the day that you purchased them. I use them on my iPhone, on my Apple Watch, on my iPad. They work wonderfully for many reasons. First and foremost is because the fibers used to create the cloth are tightly woven, very, very tightly woven. And then also they are go through a crushed fiber process, which creates a ton of surface area, which is what makes great cloth clean well. Check it out, cultcloth.co, and you can get a free 8x8 cult cloth with code CULTCAST at checkout. And if I see that you use CULTCAST at checkout, I take some of my little Wicked of Buster beard hair and I just brush it across your fiber, which my sources say adds at least 50% more cleaning power. My scientists are very thorough in that regard.
Very thoughtful.
Okay, let's talk about the big news this week. I'm sad to say this is the big news this week, but Taylor Swift got into a kerfuffle with Apple over the Apple Music payment structure for the trial period. So essentially, there's a three-month trial period for Apple Music, and she was not happy that they weren't going to be paying artists during that three-month trial period because Apple is giving that to people free. And she wrote about it on Tumblr, and it exploded. Everyone has been talking about this. Why do you guys think people care about this so much?
Everybody really loves Taylor Swift, man. She's just America's sweetheart right now.
Hey, I like Tay Tay. Does anyone call her that?
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I do, because I know that Alex Celsius Heath loved her album. In fact, he pitched it in a Faves and Raves, didn't he?
He did, yes.
Yeah, he did that. He did that in front of our entire audience. He picked that. And she didn't want to have her album on Apple Music. And this whole thing blew up, and then eventually Apple caved and is now going to be paying artists, which I think is great. I think that artists should be paid. But I guess what's surprising to me, and Leander, you were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier before we started recording, that you know we want to see artists get paid well, but Apple's payment structure is essentially the same as Spotify, as far as I can see. So I don't really know why she would be cool with pulling her music from Spotify and putting it on Apple Music. She's essentially getting paid the same thing, I think.
Mm, right.
Yeah, if that's the case.
because during the free trial, Apple will pay like the same
rate.
They're
paying
during
the same rate as Spotify,
free trial.
2 cents a song.
So, they do pay slightly more than Spotify after the free trial, though. Mm-hmm. So she was like those extra 2/100ths of a cent, you know, really add up for her on Apple Music, I guess.
Do you guys think this was a publicity stunt?
That was another conspiracy theory out there, because I mean, seriously, so many posts of ours this week have had Taylor Swift in the headline. Whether it's Taylor Swift herself saying something, Eddie Q saying something to Taylor Swift, Pharrell talking about Taylor Swift, or a photographer. Like, there's, you know, tons of stuff about Taylor Swift this week.
Oh my gosh, there's so much.
And she's just so hot right now.
She's so hot right now. And her album has been out for, what, 6 months now?
Oh, it's almost a year, actually.
Is it really?
It was towards the end of, it was like, I think, September or October.
Okay, so it's been out for quite a while.
Yeah, even Beyonce put her album on Spotify after 11 months, I think it was. So eventually 1989 was going to come to Apple Music and Spotify and other services.
And the timing of it does seem a little suspect, because mm-hmm. she writes this open letter to Apple, which in itself is unusual, on her Tumblr of all places. And within 24 hours, her and Eddie Q are tweeting back and forth. And then Apple announces that they're going to start paying artists for that three-month trial period. And everyone gave them all this publicity for free. So it kind of does seem like it might have just been a very brilliant publicity stunt. You don't think so, Buster?
I think her timing is brilliant, because according to some other reports, the negotiations were ongoing. Yeah. Eddie Q, I think, said that as well, and that mm-hmm. he was talking to Tim. And then Taylor Swift piling on. I think it was actually good for Apple Music, if anything, because people who had never heard of Apple Music, like my wife, were like, "What's Apple Music?" You know, like, why is
did she ask Taylor? It?
Yeah, totally.
Did she ask it that way?
why doesn't Taylor like Apple Music? What's wrong with that?
She doesn't. Taylor doesn't like it. Taylor doesn't like it. I'm not using it.
No way. I was like, but Drake's cool with it. Pharrell's cool with it.
Yeah, Drake's got his vintage Apple jacket on. He's ready. He's ready to roll.
No. I mean, it didn't do any damage for Apple Music in the end, which honestly, I was almost disappointed with.
Yeah, it kind of launched into the spotlight in a big way because she's so mainstream.
Right.
So tying it to her is super mainstream, which is what they need.
They were able to sign a few other groups, one of which represents like 20,000 independent labels. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the avalanche that she caused. So if anything, it was a good thing for Apple Music, I think.
You know, I read that piece on her Tumblr, and I got to say, she actually did make some good points. And she goes on to talk about how, you know, that she doesn't ask Apple for free iPhones, which I kind of wonder why she doesn't. I would if I were her.
Yeah, I'd ask her for a couple free gold Apple
watches. I'd be like, hey, where's my gold and red
you
Apple
gave
watch?
Katy Perry circa one.
Where's my Drake Apple watch, right? That's what I want. And Apple's making all this money on the backs of artists, and they are basically taking their art and using it for free for 3 months to build their own service. Doesn't that seem, Leander, you gotta agree with me here. I think you're going to. That seems a little bit like a bad move, don't you think?
What, the Apple not paying the artists?
For the trial period.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're the richest company in America, at least. They, if any company can afford to pay artists during the free trial, you would think that Apple would be the one that would be like, yeah, we can afford to foot the bill for, like, even if I think I did the math. And even if they get like 10 million people listening in the first 3 months, it's like 300 million. It's not like Apple can't afford that.
Well, didn't Pharrell on his Happy song only get like a check for $2,600 or something like that?
What? From Spotify?
It was absurdly low. It was newsworthy. It was so low. For all those millions and millions of plays for his Happy song, I think he got like $2,600.
Is that all?
That doesn't surprise me, though. I saw somebody else who said they were like one of the co-writers for Kanye West's song, Click.
Uh-huh.
And they made $96, I think.
Wow.
And that was like one of the hottest songs of, I think, 2013 or 12. But there's just no money in it for artists, I think. Spotify, at least.
No, there's not, which is kind of why I wonder why she even cares about this in the first place, because who cares? You're going to make no money off this anyway.
Well, this is, you know, isn't this the future of music? Isn't this where it's going? I mean, people aren't going to be buying singles anymore. They're going to be streaming everything. And you know, so if that's true, where's the money for the entire record industry going to come from?
I think Apple's point on that is that they're going to get so many to pay for their paid subscription. We're going to get 100 million people. So that the money's going to be there once we get all those people to sign up.
They have 75 million active users, but wasn't that the number they released?
Spotify, that sounds about right.
But they only have, I think, 10 million paid users or somewhere.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But I think Apple was extrapolating, right? If they could get 75 million, then, well, yeah, you know, Apple
right.
can too.
Okay, check this out. So Pharrell off his Happy song. So that was part right. So he got $3,000 for the songwriting royalty. So but for the actual performance royalties, I guess those are different. On the 43 million Happy plays that he had on Spotify, he got $25,000.
No way.
$25,000.
No, that's just, even if, you know, Spotify had 10 times the users, that's what, $2.5 million, and or maybe even not even that. That's just unsustainable.
That's poverty level. That's poverty level. And he's one of the most popular artists on Spotify.
That was the song of summer 2014.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm still listening to that jam, aren't you?
I know Tim Cook is.
Oh yeah. He's had a few dance parties in his office to that song, I'm sure. So even at that level, you're still not making any money. So for her to be so upset about not receiving a check, I mean, I can certainly understand on principle, but she's not going to make any money from this. And imagine people who are not popular on Spotify and like the independent artists, they're going to get like $100 a year if you get like 10,000 plays.
See,
so,
but
what?
For me, I don't know. In some ways, I think Spotify also helps sell you so that people are going to possibly like buy your merch shirts and go to your concerts and things so that, you know, you can be supported as well. So I think it's part of Spotify and Apple Music is to help artists sell those things as well. And hopefully the artist can make money off that, but there's not a lot doing it, I guess.
Yeah, you can't really hide anymore as a bad artist.
Right.
And, you know, like, remember the days when you would buy a CD and you would listen, there'd be one hit single or something on the radio. You'd go buy a CD and then you'd get the CD and listen to it, and it was just absolutely horrid trash.
Like, so much of my money as a kid was wasted on crappy CDs, you know?
Yeah.
Because they'd have that awesome single. And then you go and they have maybe and one other single that was decent, and then nine other songs that are, total shite.
One album that comes to mind is, or one song in particular. Do you guys remember The Darkness? I believe in the thing called love.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. I like that whole album, though.
You like that whole album? You're kidding.
The one that comes to mind for me is Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna
keep me down. You bought a Chumbawamba album?
I may have bought the entire Chumbawamba song based off that one hot single they had in 1999, whatever it was.
I cannot believe you liked The Darkness' album. You seriously liked that album? That one song was incredible, and I listened to the rest of the album, and I was totally puzzled how it could be so bad when that one single was so good.
But their guitar riffs were great, and their hair was awesome.
Oh, their hair was great.
The 70s look in 2004.
Yeah. Oh, they were rolling. And their music video for that song was impeccable.
Oh, it's hilarious.
So good.
Well, the one thing you used to get about buying an album, which you don't get anymore, is that often an album would grow on you, wouldn't it? You wouldn't like it the first couple of plays, and sometimes not even until years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty much my whole experience with Dave
Matthews
Band. Because
you're forced to listen to him because you didn't have access to everybody else's music too, I think.
Right, and you also want to, a little bit of wanting to get your money's worth, a little bit of like just, being too late. Remember when you had to put it on a record player? To change the music, you had to actually get up.
It's the worst.
And then you'd scratch it.
I know, we're kind of spoiled now, right? Because if you hear a song on Spotify or something and you don't instantly like it, you just skip to the next one. Yeah. And Leander, to your point, I do remember albums like that where I listened to them 1, 2, 3 times. And because of laziness, you don't want to get up and do anything, change the song or whatever. You end up listening to the whole album and it does grow on you. And you could even end up loving the album after some time.
I found actually quite a lot that songs I didn't like initially were the ones I liked the best later on.
Mm-hmm. That's happened to me too. Yeah.
I think that's true. I think that's generally true almost, for a lot of stuff.
It's like people in a way. Like some people that rub you the wrong way. I'm sure you know some people like this, Leander.
I do, indeed.
Some of them may even be on this podcast. And then they just grow on you.
Yeah. After spending hours and hours, and you can't get up and you can't turn them off.
Being stuck in a car with them and you can't get rid of them, though you try. Okay, well, let's move on to some Apple software news. So as I mentioned at the start of the show, we got iOS 8.4 beta, iOS 9 beta, and El Capitan beta. Lots of betas this week. Buster, care to highlight some of the cooler features that we got in these updates?
Well, one of the biggest feature changes in the iOS 9 beta was a new icon for the podcast app.
Mm-hmm. And that
It went over really well. It went over really well.
I'm surprised I missed that one. Yeah.
You missed it?
I didn't see it. Yeah, I'm surprised. I should go back and look for that.
They also changed the Apple Watch app to just Watch.
Just the name change.
Just Watch.
Okay, another exciting development. You heard it here first, folks.
Let's see what else. Safari search is better, so that's kind of good.
Okay.
I found that it doesn't kill your battery as much in my testing over the last few days. It's not as bad as the first one.
Are we talking about which OS are we talking about here, Buster?
iOS 9.2.
Okay. Oh, you're on
9.0. Beta. Okay.
Are we just talking about the stuff that 9.0? Because I thought the new app switch is really great. I like that a lot.
The handoff, so you can just, if you're in your iPhone already, you can double tap the home button to just activate handoff and switch into an app. So that's pretty
handy,
good. Yeah, that was probably maybe the biggest one.
And then in El Capitan, wasn't there a piece of code that indicated that we might be getting a updated 4K iMac?
Yeah, 9to5Mac found that El Capitan had a reference for like a 2.5-inch 4K Retina iMac, if that's your sauce.
Oh, I'm saucing all over it. Is that a saying?
I don't know.
I'm saucing all over that iMac.
They also found like a Bluetooth remote reference. I'm going to guess that's like the Apple TV, like the updated one. They didn't show.
That's a special one that we've been talking about forever. Yeah.
Well, hurry up and release it, Apple.
I know. I wonder when they are going to release that. I'm going to guess fall when they actually have like their content contracts in place.
The funny thing was, I swear we were talking about this exact same thing like a year ago.
Probably.
It just feels like deja vu. Like WWDC came and went without like an app store for Apple TV. And we were like, man, maybe in the fall. And then it didn't come. And so I'm hoping that doesn't happen again.
But I do feel like we're closer than ever.
Well, it has to be.
Well, according to my sources, in the next 3 to 7 years, we are going to see an Apple TV update of some kind.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to put that out there. And my record so far has been pretty accurate.
I hope they don't just kill the whole thing.
Watch, they do. I can't even get that right. Just kill the whole Apple TV. It's going to be gone forever. Any other notable features here?
Honestly, that was about it.
Yeah, not very exciting.
A lot of
huh?
bug fixes. That's about it, you know?
Yeah, lots and lots of little bug fixes. And we won't be seeing any final software, I'm going to guess, again, until, I don't know, September sometime. Have they announced when they're actually going to release these?
They said fall. Okay. But, you know, mid-September to
before
September
Christmas.
It's always a week or two after the hardware ships, right? So,
right.
It's going to be like mid-September, right? If it's the same as previous years.
Yeah.
Have you noticed with this beta though? I mean, like in previous betas, like some, you know, the first one was kind of pretty stable, then the second one was completely horrible and broke everything, and then the third one was even worse than that, and nothing worked. This is what's going on with the Apple Watch. I've got it on this iPad here at work. On my iPad I do, but I didn't put it on my phone. Because I made the same mistake last year. You know, like I loaded up the betas on my phone and then I couldn't use it for 3 months.
Yeah, you are using it on your computer though, right, Leander?
Yeah, I have El Capitan on my computer.
That's of course you are. Because I feel like every time there's an Apple update, we have audio issues with Leander's computer for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, is that what he thinks?
So enthusiastic about it, like he has to install it on everything
immediately. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I have one of those features, like the new Safari stuff in El Capitan's great. I love pinning, you know, because I'm always hunting it down around amongst a million tabs.
Yeah.
You know, for you know, the tab for the site and the tab for the bank and so on and so forth. So now I can pin them. That's actually really pretty good. And the sound stuff as well, like muting the sound. That's a great lifesaver.
Yeah, I really like that one a lot. That's going to be super handy because right now you're always kind of left hunting to see which tab is the one playing the really annoying audio. Don't you guys hate it when websites auto-load the audio? Oh, my gosh, that's so annoying. It's terrible. I can't stand it. So, okay, any other features before we...
Did you use the iPad beta, Leander?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Have you been using like the keyboard new things for like productivity and all that, split screen?
No, I saw them and I was like, oh, what are all those funny symbols? So, yeah, and I actually haven't, but I can see this like cut and paste and some other stuff, right?
Feel like iOS 9 would be most exciting for iPad users.
Absolutely, because then you get to use the split screen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys tried it? Have you tried the split screen yet, Leander?
Yeah, I just played around with it, and it's pretty nifty. I haven't done it actually for any work. I should definitely do that. I'll definitely have to check that out. It looked super useful.
Yeah, because I thought that was going to be one of the features you were most excited about.
Yeah.
No.
I've been stuck in front of the computer all the time. I haven't actually, you know, like done. I haven't taken the iPad out and about yet to do any work on it.
Oh, okay. So you just, I mean, do you use your iPad all that often, or is it just kind of recreationally?
Well. You know, I haven't used it for work for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, ever since you got your MacBook.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You got another shiny new toy. I mean, that's interesting.
It was those things. It was like switching apps, you know, that made it kind of like a little bit more painful than it needed to be. And I wasn't like, you know, Charlie, I used to like, he was great at, you know, rejigging his entire workflow and learning all these, you know, complicated new ways of doing things.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, for me, I'm like, you know, like the pain of like switching between apps and doing stuff was like just a little bit too, you know,
it's over the top.
A bit of a barrier to overcome. Yeah. So I'm hoping actually all these new features will actually make it a lot easier. So I should get back to it.
I hope so. And that's going to be the curious thing to see if the new productivity features on the iPad actually do make it easier to use for creating content and not just consuming it. Because, yeah, switching between apps and all that nonsense that Charlie was doing, who wants to do all that garbage? I don't.
Right.
I don't even want to get up, change the CD.
Yeah.
I don't have to switch apps to do different things. That's why I like using my Mac for actual content creation. Okay, well, let's move on. Before we do, though, I want to say thank you to Bushel for supporting this episode. You heard me talk a little bit about Bushel at the start of the show. I think Bushel is really cool. I checked out their service, and as I said, I'm going to be using it to manage the iPads in my family. So Bushel is a cloud service that's super easy to use. Anyone can leverage it to manage the Apple devices in the workplace. So if you're a business owner, you have a bunch of iPads, a bunch of iPhones, you can use it to do all sorts of cool things like device inventory, app distribution, streamlined enrollment, Wi-Fi and email settings, remote lock and wipe functions, disk encryption, and more with as many devices as you want. And if you have a bunch of devices in your business, this is exactly what it's made for. But I was thinking this is going to be perfect for my family. So my mom and dad have iPads. And you know how your parents are always asking you to do things on their iPads? And some stuff you can help them with remotely, but how great would it be to actually be able to do it from a beautiful web interface? You can install and remove apps. You can help them set up their email. So you save a trip over to their house, and you don't want to drive like an hour through traffic just to help someone set up their email if you could do it remotely. This is the kind of thing I'll be using Bushel for, but it does so much more than what I just talked about. And the cloud capabilities result in immediate response from any location with any device. So boom, once you make a change on the website, it's reflected in the device that you're working on. And the prices are very, very affordable. And as I mentioned earlier, you could start off with three free devices. And when I say three free, there's no strings attached. You can use all of Bushel's features. There's no charge. There will never be any charge for the first three devices. Get started at bushel.com. That's bushel.com/cultofmac. And you'll be ready to rock and roll with your three free devices. There's no code or anything that you have to enter. That's bushel.com/cultofmac. And I want to thank Bushel for supporting this episode. Definitely go check it out. They have a ton of information on their website that illustrates all the cool features that Bushel has. And I've never seen a service like this. It's very, very innovative. Bushel.com/cultofmac. Okay. Leander, you know what I love?
Mm-hmm.
Caney's Corner. Caney's Corner, where you get to hear Leander rant and rave about things that he likes and things that he doesn't like. And I love me some Leander Caney rants on things that he doesn't like. Those are personally my favorite. These are all available on YouTube, on Cult of Mac's YouTube channel, by the way, youtube.com/cultofmactv. You can see Leander in full HD video, which is the way I prefer him. But you were talking... I think in the most recent video, I know you have another one that's about to come out, Leander, but you were saying one of the things that you miss most on your MacBook, since we were just talking about it, is what, Leander?
The MagSafe power adapter, the magnetic power adapter. Now, that was super great.
It was great, right? And I remember when this thing first came out, to me, immediately, I was thinking, this is going to be a big deal for me. This is almost a deal breaker for me, because I love the MagSafe. And has it caused any computer spillage issues? Has anyone tripped and sent your computer flying?
Nearly, yeah. It hasn't sent it flying, but the kids, yeah, definitely tripped on it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it flying across the room.
And it
didn't disengage. I mean, in the past, yeah, they could, you know, they would come tearing through. They would hit the wire. It would, like, beautifully just disengage, you know, thanks to those magnets. But on the new one, I can totally see it going flying across the room.
Do you guys think that they're going to bring this design of the MacBook, this USB-C design, to all the other computers, the other notebooks?
Eventually, but I wonder if there's not a way for them to create like the same type of, you know, magnetic thing for the USB-C ports.
Yeah. I don't know, because the USB plugs in so deeply into the machine. You know, like, how would it pull away that fast?
Well, isn't the whole point, isn't the reason they're doing it is because they have to use a standard... charger. They can't use a proprietary one because of those changes in the European laws.
I didn't know that.
Oh, does that have something to do with it? I didn't know that either.
Well, they haven't been explicit about this, and they haven't actually said that. But I think, you know, if you put two and two together, the reason they're doing it is because Europe ruled that devices can no longer use proprietary chargers.
What?
You didn't hear?
So,
yeah. This,
so and Europe's they ruining this, it for all the rest of us?
Well, ruining it or not, I think it's, you know, it's kind of a good idea.
No, well, it was a terrible idea.
Well, I don't know. One of the best things on the Android side is that you can use a mini USB and you can find it anywhere. You don't have to dick around with a proprietary charger that, you know, the kind of stuff that Apple does.
Yeah.
Has been doing for years. So this is why they're pushing USB-C as a standard, right? So that other manufacturers can adopt it. And it's actually pretty great because it does a whole, you know, I mean, it does all your input and output.
Yeah.
It's backwards compatible with a ton of stuff. It's actually really nice and small.
Mm-hmm.
And they could actually do a MagSafe if they put the magnet at the other end, right, on the charger.
But then it's still a proprietary. Oh, I guess that eliminates. You're right. That would eliminate the proprietary function of it because you could still charge it with any USB-C. Right. Okay, that's a great. That's a, you need to go work for Apple. That's exactly what they need to do.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I should. Yeah, thanks, Johnny Ive. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea because I realize there's pros and cons to this. So USB-C. It is convenient to be able to use a charger for multiple devices, but the MagSafe is one of those iconic Apple innovations that makes the computer so much better. And I've seen that. I think you wrote a post about this on Cult of Mac, didn't you, Leander? Or maybe it was the YouTube comments where people were gotten a heated conversation about how this wasn't needed, it was needed. But it's one of those iconic features that people love about their machines. People really love that feature. And it saved my computer multiple times. I have like a size 17 shoe, so my foot's always getting caught on things as I'm slopping by.
The giant clamp.
Exactly. And on more than one occasion, I would have taken my computer out with me because the wire just gets caught around my 3-inch, you know, toes. And, you know, so long MacBook Pro. And as Buster knows, these things aren't cheap. If you break them, you gotta get another one. So
your friends sitting on them.
But you also gave us the history of the word magnet, which I thought was very clever. Leander, where does the word magnet come from, if you would? Professor Caney?
It's from ancient Greek, right? Uh-huh. Magnes.
Magnes. I don't know. That's why I did a video, so I didn't have to remember these things.
I know. Don't put me on the hot spot now. Here. Now I've forgotten already. I don't have a memory.
That's right. I forgot about that. So you can actually
manganese or something.
Is it manganese? It was from like Manganesius, Apollo, something like that. Some Greek god who used magnets to set the earth in its foundation. I'm just literally making all this up on the
fly. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was from a herder, wasn't it? It was a goat herder.
Was it really?
No.
I was like, I watched the video. I don't remember you talking about goats. Well, you can check out the video on Cultimax or youtube.com/CultimacTV. And Leander gives a short history of the magnet, which I thought was lovely. Good idea there, Leander. And what's next week's video going to be?
This is how my MacBook got stolen.
How your MacBook got stolen?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to be
tomorrow.
So you're going to have some tips on how to keep your MacBook safe.
Well, it's hard not to be an idiot and make a bunch of mistakes that I made.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I can already see the comment thread. All righty. Well, Buster, let's talk about Apple's new material that may eliminate unsightly, horrid lines in your beautiful iPhone forever. Care to elaborate?
Well, you know, your iPhone has really ugly antenna lines.
On the back. So
Johnny Ive, he just can't handle that.
He doesn't like the lines.
No,
huh?
No ugly lines in Johnny's lab.
I bet he has no tan lines either.
You don't think so?
Heck no.
I imagine a man with his pasty complexion gets tan pretty, you know, or at least sunburned pretty easily.
Well, red, yeah.
Yeah, he probably does, but there's nothing to obstruct to create a tan line, is my point.
Yeah, you're right. So he probably goes out to those nude beaches in France.
And he wants your iPhone back to be just as nude with no more lines because they're so unsightly.
Yeah.
So what are they creating, like a composite or something that's supposed to fix this problem for them?
A magical composite metal that looks that looks just like your anodized iPhone aluminum case. That way you can't, you know, see where those ugly lines are, where the antennas are.
So it looks like metal, but it's not metal.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like
it's not metal.
Terminator grade. Well, it's like T-1000 material.
Well, yeah, I think. I'm not a chemist, so I don't really know the, you know, that kind of stuff that well.
You don't have a degree in chemistry?
Not really, no.
Oh, I'm surprised you hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but we may never see this actually show up in a phone or in any Apple device because it's one of those Apple patents that, I mean, it's an Apple patent. So
possibly,
we may or
right.
may not ever see it.
But I mean, I think it just goes to show that Apple's always looking for ways to just make it, make each object just look like a solid slab as possible. Because they also had a new patent, I think, that came out this week for Touch ID behind the home screen so that, mm-hmm. you know, that you wouldn't have to have a home button on the screen at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's the way that Johnny Ive's design, you know, is going, is to where it just looks like a single just slab of aluminum and you just touch it and it's magic.
That would be pretty cool. So
it would be magic, yeah.
We didn't talk about this story, but as long as you brought it up, so there was a story that Apple was going to be combining the digitizer with the screen in a future iPhone, which I think we've talked about this before in past shows, which would eliminate the need for a home button. And then they're also trying to figure out a way, and I'm sure this is probably what they're trying to do, is to put the Touch ID into the glass in some way,
right.
So you don't need the home button, as you mentioned. That would actually be pretty svelte.
Oh, I mean, the home button, so much of the iPhone's design, at least the last part of it, is, you know, based around the home button. Mm-hmm. There's so much extra space around it because you have to have that same circle there. So if they could eliminate it altogether, that would be awesome.
It would also allow them to shrink the size of the 6 Plus or whatever phone they end up using this in.
Yeah, and so you could have like a 6 Plus screen without it feeling like ginormous in your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Or barely able to fit into your pockets. Because look how much space the home button takes up at the bottom of the iPhone. Of course,
yeah,
I wonder.
A whole half inch.
It's like a half inch. In Johnny Ive's world, that's like 10 miles, Leander.
Well, if you add it to the top where the speaker is and the camera, that would be, that, you know, that would add up to an inch, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's,
I think you're right.
But I wonder if they don't have it so big at the top as well, just because it's more in harmony with the size of the home button, yeah. space
harmony.
On the
bottom. Harmony. I bet you that's a word that Johnny Ive uses all the time. He probably just loves that word.
Right.
He's so zen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm looking at my iPhone 6 Plus now, and if it didn't have the home button, they could shrink the top and the bottom. It would fit so much better into my hand, although they use that space to pack in more battery.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we would get less battery life, you know, in lieu of a smaller size, which we've already talked about this. So I'm not a fan of that. I want the phone to actually, if they need to make the phone bigger to give me more battery life, I'm all for that. It's thin enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's like sacrilege in the religion of Apple, isn't it?
Oh, you, that's excommunicated. Make it bigger? No. Ugh. Johnny Ive's just design team would turn their nose up at you so fast.
Puke on me. Puke on my shoes.
Ew.
Tilt his nose up at me. Okay, well, let's wrap up with this story. I thought this was fun. So Apple's new ad campaign shot on an iPhone has been really popular, and you've probably seen these photos they've used in bus stops, in advertisements. They've been using them in Apple stores. I thought this was a really innovative use of content created on an iPhone that makes the Apple brand look really cool. In fact, Withhart's actually had a friend of the show, Withhart's prolific Instagrammer, Withhart's, had his work featured in one of the Apple stores. And Apple recently won an award for their World Gallery campaign. I guess it's called the Outdoor Lions category at the Cannes Grand Prix Festival. Leander, you've been around the Apple game for years. You even almost shook Steve Jobs' hand twice, almost.
So he snatched it away.
It away disgustedly.
But yeah, but apart from that.
Apart from that, what do you think makes Apple's advertising so special from advertising we see everyone else do? Because, I mean, it is special, don't you think?
Yeah, and, you know, I would say that some campaigns have been better than others, of course, right? Mm-hmm. But they've often been, they often pass, you know, a lot of Apple's campaigns pass into popular culture, mm-hmm. which I think is, you know, great for advertising because, mm-hmm. you know, it takes that side of the realm of just advertising and, mm-hmm. and makes it talked about. Mm-hmm. And these ones, yeah, these ones are great. I mean, I think... I think lots of people have tried this in the past. You know, a lot of people try to highlight users and what people do with the devices. And mm-hmm. Apple's done variations on this in the past as well, like what's on my power, but where they used to have celebrities and power users. And, you know, but this one they've really pulled off really nicely and they've done some really good shots. But, of course, it's been a mixed crowd. They make it look like it's just ordinary people that are taking these photographs. And Dave Pierini has been looking into this, and he's actually got a whole series of stories coming up about the people behind the photographs. And he's found that it's actually been a mixed bag. There's a few professional photographers in there, with Hertz. I mean, one of his was featured in the campaign, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was actually, I think, printed and used in the store.
Right. So, and but it was also in subways. Alex Heath, you know, I think saw it on the New York subway.
Did he really? Oh, funny.
Recently tweeted out about it. So, and of course, it goes on. You know, they look great. I mean, this is really, really great advertising. They're great pictures, and it's a great way to highlight what you can do with your device and also the iPhone 6's capabilities. You know, it's got a great camera.
They're so good at using subtlety to create a beautiful advertisement that oftentimes, not always, remember the Apple Genius ads? Those terrible Apple Genius ads? That right. guy's yet to show his face in public.
Yeah, the funny thing is that people forget like the really, you know, the bad Apple advertising and the times when it didn't work, you know, because it disappears so quickly. But these are great. Yeah, I think it's a great, great way to show that. And it's nice. It's celebrating creativity. It's everything that Apple is all about, you know, creativity and, you know, sort of, you know, using a device for actually to do something.
Steve Jobs insisted right from the start when Apple was starting to do advertising that the ads highlight the users over the technology. I feel like that's a common theme throughout Apple. And that approach I don't think really has changed since because they're still doing that. And it is often very effective, but sometimes like the Apple Genius ads, maybe not so much. But even when they're not talking about users, I mean the Get a Mac or the Mac versus PC ads, those ones are still my favorite.
Yeah, those were awesome.
And Leander, I started checking out the British versions, which I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's not nearly as many of them, but that guy, that British guy who they use as PC, that guy is perfect for the for the PC. They need to resurrect those. I wonder if they ever will.
Yeah, no, I think it's time has passed, but it'd be nice to see them do it like an Android version right now with the iOS and Android.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That would be totally appropriate, too, now that Apple's really starting to compete with app or with Android so vehemently, and now they're doing, you know, even have like apps and stuff to help people move over. So they got to convince Android people that they got to move over to the right side of history. So
Samsung's kind of doing this. We're like, well, they're advertising, aren't they? They're trying to sort of portray iOS and iPhone people as, you know, sheep. People who don't think for themselves and a little bit stupid.
Yeah.
And it's kind of backfiring, I think, because it, at least, you know, from the looking at it from the sort of Apple side of the fence, you know, it's like you don't want to be called an idiot, do you? You know, for the choice of device.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really endear me to Samsung.
I never found those advertisements to be effective at all. In fact, I thought they were so stupid. I was like, does anyone actually buy this? Does anyone actually buy into only parents are the ones using iPhones? Because Samsung is selling a message that I don't think is true to life. Like everyone knows that's just not how things are. People, in my opinion, there's some cool Android devices. Like I know Samsung makes some cool ones. And all the rest, virtually all the rest, are, I think, my opinion again, are bought by people who just don't really want to spend money on a cell phone and either get it for a really reduced price or get it for free. And those people just end up on Android because it's cheaper. Because Apple devices aren't cheap. They're kind of expensive.
Yeah, I think there's two Android users. One, there's definitely the kind that goes into the store and they're just like, you know, give me the cheapest phone you can get, and that would be an Android phone. But then there's definitely a power user, Android, you know, power power user profile, and there's millions of them. I mean, there's millions of Android people who make a conscious choice. They want it because I think a lot of people, I think Apple rubs a lot of people up, the wrong way.
Oh, definitely.
And they don't like the control, and they don't like the all the choices being made for them. They want to dicker around and choose all the different themes and all the way it looks and the way it works, and they want to have that that grander control that Apple doesn't let you have.
I used to be that guy. I used to think, it's so funny because I remember this so vividly, I used to think anyone that bought Apple devices was a total moron. Why would you ever spend money on an Apple device? Because they're overpriced, and obviously, clearly, you don't know how to use a computer, and you have to have everything, like Apple's sealed computer system, and it doesn't let you do anything, which is actually not true at all. But that's what I thought at the time.
And then I got my first computer,
and I've totally fell in love with it. I've been using it ever since.
You don't want to mess around with that kind of stuff, do you? I mean, you can figure it out, but I don't want to do that. I mean, I just want to where a lot of the choices have been made for me.
I know. Who has the time to waste all that stuff anymore?
No, not
when you're trying to get work done. So, and Windows has gotten a lot better, for sure, since the time when I was using it. But still, I mean, the beauty of Apple's operating system, I think, and their devices especially, is what really keeps me in the ecosystem. That, I remember the first time I used an Apple computer, and I was trying to change my avatar in iChat, and I grabbed a picture off my desktop and just dragged it onto the picture in the iChat window, and it changed my picture for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, they figured out that I was going to try this, and this works.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. And since that day, I was totally hooked.
Right. That's totally common. Everyone has a story like that, right? Exactly. Everyone has that kind of story where they realize that they did something and they had this kind of magical effect. And then it just shows that, that Apple's designers already thought about this kind of stuff, haven't they? And thought about it deeply. In fact, there's a whole bunch of stuff at WWDC, and I wish I'd written about this. I went to one of those old conf talks, and this guy was talking. He was he's an IT manager for a hospital in Cincinnati, and I'm sitting there listening to his whole talk, and he's talking about all these different tools and stuff, and all this stuff that's going to iOS 9 and into and Apple's, and also at the server level, Apple's done a whole bunch of stuff for configuring like vast numbers of computers. And I'm like, this isn't really for us. This isn't really for our audience. And then at the very end, he says, people are criticizing Apple for the keynote and for the Apple Music and for flubbing that. But he said, this stuff is amazing. They put a ton of work into this. Hmm. And iOS 9 and El Capitan is full of this kind of stuff. There is a huge amount of work that's gone on behind the scenes to make people like me and my work easier. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my god, and then I saw that's true as well. Like the developers were all raving about all the stuff that's going in behind the scenes to the OS, and there's a lot of a very, very fundamental stuff that's really going to make a big difference.
I know. Unfortunately, that's the stuff that's hard to put. It's hard to get people excited about that stuff.
It is, right. You know, exactly.
It's tough to talk about that and have people actually care. I mean, maybe guys like even you, Leander. I was gonna say maybe guys like us care, but even you were kind of bored until the very end.
Well, right, but the WWDC thing is a tricky exercise because they've got to please the people in the room, which are the sort of hardcore developers who care much more about things like battery life and security and ease of use, APIs, right? And then they got to please all the people who are watching at home who want these sort of big tentpole new features and stuff like Apple Music. But I think the real innovation, right, is but this is exactly how Apple rolls. Like people always want a revolutionary thing that year after year, some revolution in this, that, or the other. But Apple's always been about slow and steady improvement and evolutionary moving forward than rather than the big leaps.
I know it's weird because you're right, but when you think about Apple historically, you always think about those big moments that they have. And it feels like they come more frequently than they actually do.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I've sat through tons of really painful Steve Jobs presentations where he devoted half an hour to some features in. Like I remember cards. Do you remember being able to send cards?
Yeah.
Do you mean like postcards and mail? Thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
It took about 30 minutes to sit through that. And I remember people really forcing themselves to kind of clap and go. And there was stuff in photos, I think, some stuff in photos that you could do.
Sometimes that iLife stuff.
You remember making your own DVD?
Yeah, he's like, let's sit here while this burns. Sit here in silence.
Yeah. It'll only take 30 minutes.
It's only going to take 30 minutes as opposed to 60. Here, let me show you.
iDVD transitions and different menus and stuff. Yeah. Oh my goodness. There was tons of that though. And but you know, I think people were either very forgiving or maybe they just weren't. I think actually probably more to the point was that they didn't really sort of expect, you know, this these massive revolutionary changes. Because I mean, Apple has changed. You know, there have been certain things, haven't there? There's such huge revolutionary products, like, you know, the iPhone. It was such a massive change that, you know, people become greedy, don't they? They want to see this all the time.
Yeah. And it's impossible. Every year. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're ever curious to see some of Apple's older presentations, you guys hear those sound bites I put at the start of the show and sometimes in the show. I mean, I get those all off YouTube, and there's a ton of them on there. I mean, practically every keynote Steve Jobs ever did is on YouTube, and some of them are painful. Like, you're sitting there and you're watching him talk about some mundane feature like the postcards thing for 10 minutes, and you're like, oh my gosh, Apple has really improved their keynotes in the last, I think, in the last 7 to 10 years especially. They were really boring before the iPhone, I think. Maybe they excited you, Leander, when they
Don't. But there's a good example, like in iOS 9, I think, you know, in the Notes app now, you can get all this kind of PDF markup stuff that you can get a preview, and including like signatures. So you can actually sign documents, you know, in PDF documents from your phone. And that just makes things...
That makes things so much easier.
It does. It does. It really, really does. And I think a whole bunch of like super... All the smarts they put into this, into the OS now, is going to be really great. You know, like I was just looking in the email app. It says like, oh, look, this contact, it looks like they've got a new number. Do you want to add it to contacts? And it's like, click, yeah, done.
Wow.
It's great. It's totally great. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that that I think is really going to make a big difference.
And all those little things, I think, are what really give you that warm and fuzzy feeling. Like when you drag your avatar over iChat and it changes and it's like, oh my gosh, wow, they thought about that. That's great.
Right.
I mean, I was using Internet Explorer the other day. Yes, I have to admit that. I was using Internet Explorer the other day, and I pulled an image off the web and put it on my desktop, and it popped up a notice, and it said something along the lines of, are you sure you would like to remove this image from the web zone and place it on your desktop? And I'm like, yes. I drag and dropped it, didn't I? Why would you ever ask me that question? And it does that every single time you try to perform that task. It's like those little things that just drive you crazy,
right?
That Apple thinks of and kind of irons out ahead of time, which is...
Yeah, yeah. And over the years, there's so much of that stuff gone into the operating system.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so mature now. Yeah, it's great.
All right, well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there before we gush anymore, Leander, about what we love about Apple.
Put my arm around my iMac.
Leander's going to put his arm around his iMac and have a good cry. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Clickcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to guffaw over your Apple love on Twitter, we would love to hear from you. I'm at Airfun, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R, and of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. Hey, go check out Leander's Caney's Corner on Cult of Mac TV. That's youtube.com/CultofMacTV. Thanks for everyone. I'm broken. Thanks to everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys the next time.
What up, EZE?
Leander, you got any fun stories to tell us?
I don't know. Not really.
Is anything annoying you a lot these days?
No. Yeah.
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 Are you looking at him right now?
I'm looking at him right now. I've been going to physical therapy because I fucked up my ankle.
What did you do to your ankle?
Just a... jogging like a fat hippo on the treadmill.
Did you step on it wrong, or was your ankle just like, nope, not going to happen?
It just tweaked, and I kept on. I was like, ah, it'd be okay. I kept on running. And the next, you know, then I'm hobbling for like a month, and I thought, ah, it'll fix itself, you know?
Yeah, but it didn't.
No, so I finally went to see a physical therapist, and she said, you got to stretch it. And I'm like, stretch? What the, you know?
I don't want to do that. It's too much work.
Well, I didn't, you know, I never really liked stretching, and it, I've never done it, right? So I don't know what it's about. So I went to see her, and she's like, did you do the stretches? And I said, nah, I didn't do them. Okay, out of here. I'm not working with you. If you don't do any work, then I can't work with people like that.
She booted you.
She was about to throw me out, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll do it. So I did it for like 3 days, and it's almost completely cleared up after three days. Can't believe it.
That's
great. Like amazing and miraculous. Totally odd and strange and really great.
Follow the instructions and it all worked out.
Yeah, but I had no idea.
When all else fails, follow the instructions. That's right. You know, it's I'm happy that you're healed, but it would have been pretty cool if it just didn't heal and you had to get like a cane and just walk around with a cane. You'd look pretty baller with a cane. Rolling around San Francisco.
I look like a lot of other homeless people around here with my lunch over my shirt and leaning on a couple of crutches.
This completes the look.
Right. That's what I need.